I was reading a psalm this morning, and I noticed something in the psalm. This was one of David's psalms. And I read a psalm each morning, each day. That's kind of part of my practice. And I was a little slow on the uptake on something as I worked my way now up to psalm number 40. And I noticed something, that when a psalmist, or David in particular, someone else, is doing a psalm, when God is up to something, he's praising and acknowledging, and he's saying, it's all about you. But I realize that when David has realized his shortcomings, he's crying out that God may have mercy upon him. And understanding that even he's faltering, that God is still the one that's going to have to come through. And that even in the middle of sin at times, confession took place, and David was still willing to praise God, that even if he did have to deal with consequences, he was still going to praise him, even in the middle of his sin. Now, I don't know what that has to do with anything this morning, other than somebody, I believe, needed that word this morning of truth, that God will be with you in the middle of difficult circumstances, even if you caused it. Even if you're the one that allowed something to come in that wasn't supposed to come in. Gwen, we're glad you came in, by the way. Hey, Gwen. Did you notice I waited for you to get right down here? That's good. So this morning, as we think about why did Jesus have to die for us, I would ask you this question to begin this morning, and that is this. You would probably have your own list of answers to that question. But my question for you, the question I would ask myself this morning, did I live the past week as if that's a truth, or did I live this past week as if it's a myth? And what I mean by that is, did I live in that reality, or did I kind of live my life separate of that, and then if I needed that as a fact, I would call out to Him? Or did I begin the day, did I look at life through that fact, that He really did be raised from the dead, and He lives at the right hand of the Father? Or did I live as more as if I get around to that? Did I live with Him in His proper place being first? Or did I live more of my life as if I am the most important person in my life? So as we get ready to pray, I'd ask you to think about those questions. Let's pray. Father, this morning, our time will be brief. The Lord, may it be glorifying and honoring You. Father, we praise You for all these blessings of life. God, we praise You for life everlasting. It's awesome. It's powerful. Holy Spirit, make Your presence known now. God, I know there's already been a lot of praying going on this morning, a lot of hearts being prepared to receive, but Lord, there's still a battle going on, and it's raging at this moment, not just for us, but for the saints around the world. And Lord, help us to get through the clutter and hear and seek, long and want You more than anything else. God, our hearts need to be ready, whatever it takes to get them ready. Get it ready now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, there's probably a lot of things every single week that we believe we can't live without. Probably at least a few of them in this room probably either lost our cell phone this week, our car keys this week, maybe a child this week. Maybe you thought you lost your mind this week. All right? But they probably... there was something misplaced that may have been important to you. And you believed or thought for a moment, what am I going to do if I can't find such and such? And I believe that probably happens on some sort of regular basis. Because we live life usually on the way to the next thing while we're still trying to figure out the last thing. And so I would ask you to consider this morning as we look for resurrection season. You know, I don't understand something. We spend a lot of time and energy in our culture getting ready for Christmas season. Why can't there be a resurrection season? So this morning, I'd encourage you on April the 2nd, it's resurrection season. We're getting ready to celebrate with a little more gusto, a little more luster, Resurrection Sunday in a couple of weeks. Celebrate every day, I know that. But are you really putting the oomph into realizing that we're in a season trying to get people's attention? But most importantly, we can't get somebody else's attention unless God has our attention. So does God have your full, undivided attention? So this morning, why did Jesus have to die for us? John, go ahead and throw up the Scripture. We're going to look at a little different part of the Scripture for this question to be answered this morning. This is from the Old Testament, a prophecy about the coming of Jesus and some of the things He would do on this earth when He arrived. This same passage is found in Luke chapter 4, after Jesus has been fasting in the desert for 40 days, and then He arrives at the temple. They hand Jesus the scroll, and He reads this same passage regarding Himself. And in Isaiah 61:1, it says this, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." I don't know about you, but that sounds like an awesome responsibility to me. He didn't just say, "I need to go down there and put some Band-Aids on the problems. I'm going to have to go down there and I'm going to have to do some deep, precise surgery on some hearts, on some minds, and I'm going to have to see some life change happen." Because one of the things about it that's inherent to this Scripture is Jesus is proclaiming what He is going to do. And then in Luke chapter 4, when He reads it again about Himself, He makes a proclamation that says, "My time on earth is really about this. This is what I'm here for. I'm not here to set up an earthly kingdom, but I am here to see a restoring of the way things should be." So point number one, John. He had to die to restore us to the Father. What happened in Genesis? The relationship was broken with God the Father. So what do you think about this for a second in your own life? He died so the return of something that had been lost could actually happen. Something was lost when sin entered. The perfect, intimate, deep, loving relationship was lost because of Eve and Adam's sin, and also their shame. Why did He have to die for us? To restore that perfect type of relationship. He can no longer allow us to be alone and abandoned and without the Heavenly Father's love in our life. This is a truth that many in our culture need to know, and you have to live it, because in our culture today, because of the dysfunction, the brokenness, just the absolute fracturedness of our family units in America today and our culture today, this is something that seems like a no-brainer. It's something that we can struggle with ourselves, and as we try to help others understand how much the Father loved us, because He didn't want you to be alone. He didn't want you to be abandoned. In fact, we often quote that Jesus came that we may have life and have it abundantly. I think we quote that as in hope that we will realize what it means one day. What it realizes one day is that there's a Heavenly Father that cannot, because He will not, abandon you. He can't do it. It's just like saying, can God lie? No, He cannot lie. He cannot go against His nature. He cannot go against who He is. He cannot change that. And so, as our Heavenly Father, Jesus had to die to restore that the fact there's a Heavenly Father that has never, nor will ever, abandoned us. One of the things about the cross itself, we see crosses all over the place this time of year, is to me, the cross is a revealing of our great sin, but Jesus on the cross is a revealing of our value to God the Father. Do you hear what I said? The cross can reveal the great sin. Jesus being on the cross is a revealing of our great value, because it took all of God to die to restore all of us to Him. Think about something for those who have to do these kinds of mundane tasks. When you go to a store and you look at things and you buy it, most often, not the teenagers, and maybe some of you don't, you look at the price. You say, what is this going to cost me? You know, one of the greatest evils in the world today, Amazon Prime. All right? Because Amazon Prime, if you don't know what it is, it's a function of Amazon that makes ordering easy and less hassle and gets there faster. And the interesting thing is when Amazon comes up on my iPad screen or my phone screen, it always seems to be that everything's in black, white, and yellow except Prime. It's in green. And so they're always willing to help me see how easily I can obtain something at a lower cost. Because, after all, if I can get it easily, then I'm much more likely to obtain it. Think about the great cost of this restoration. Think about that for a second. Restoring that which was lost, the intimate depth of the relationship with our Heavenly Father, a love that cannot be separated by anything that we would do or know that heaven would throw at us or that the world, the flesh, the devil would throw at us, cannot be separated. In fact, this one thing right here, you get nothing else today, when you realize this relationship has been restored, it should affect where you go, what you do, and how you see life. Your whole view should be skewed by the fact that I have a Heavenly Father that every moment of every day has my best interest in mind. Even at times, if it doesn't look like it, He still loves you and He is still led by His love for you. Number two, John. He had to die to restore us to wholeness. I told Regina earlier, honest to goodness, I know Dusty Rick too, probably. Some of you even probably could. We could talk about this. I could talk to y'all about this all day. I'm not kidding. I could just talk about this all single day. Because I want you to know something. The first thing is, in our culture, we don't even know what wholeness is anymore. We don't even know what wholeness is. Okay? We have changed, we have traded the fulfillment of a relationship with God the Father with momentary mountains of happiness. We don't understand that wholeness allows us to see the world without fear, without trepidation, without insecurity, without scarcity. Most of us live with a scarcity mentality. You know what that looks like? You're always afraid someone's going to ask something of you. And you're always wondering, do I have to give it? Do I have what it takes to give? And if I give it, will I have enough left for me? That's a scarcity mentality. And He came to restore us to a wholeness, a whole heart, a whole relationship, so we don't have to be afraid, so we don't have to be fearful, so we can live an abundant life according to His standards. How could you have ever asked one of the disciples at the end of their life, and said, was that really the abundant life? Was that really the abundant life? How could you have faced those trials, those tribulations? How could you have faced those bad news, the bad news from the doctor's appointment? How could you have faced those times when family members let you down, when people stabbed you in the back at work? How could you have lived through all that? How could you have lived that you've been traded by the lowest common denominator in society, by people backstabbing you to trade you in so you would have to pay the ultimate price for following Jesus? I believe they would do it just like Jesus did, that He was so secure as you and I should be, that you can look at the people that are the dirty, rotten scoundrels in your life and still love them. That you should be able to look at the dirty, rotten scoundrels that have stabbed you in the back, have hurt you, have wounded you, and say two things. God, heal the wound and help me love them no matter what. I want wholeness. I want to see life through wholeness. I want to move from scarcity to abundance. Abundance says, I've got enough. I don't have to answer the question, how's it going? Busy? That's garbage. Okay, don't get me started on that, okay? Don't get me started on that, okay? Because that's garbage, all right? You can answer the question and say, life is well, but sometimes it's a struggle. But I've realized that I can overcome the struggle when I realize I have a Heavenly Father and He's making me whole. He's making me whole. I can see life through the wholeness, not the holes. We can be authentic. And you see the part of that scripture where it says He came, He was sent to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. That's you. That's me. How about if we saw life outside some made-up prison walls that we put on ourselves? Limitations that God never placed on us. That our hearts that have been disappointed in the past could truly be healed and we could be set free. He came to do those things. Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes it's the snapping of the finger. But I guarantee you something, it'll never happen until we submit to the power of the Holy Spirit. It does not happen on our terms. It happens on God's terms. And sometimes He's got to touch some tender spots to heal those spots so they won't be tender anymore, so they can be whole again. And then when the devil, the world, the flesh says, I remember that tender spot you had, Dane. I'm going to find somebody to touch that tender spot. You'd be like, hey, Satan, it's tender no more. It's tender no more. I'm whole. It's tender no more. Number three, John. He had to die to restore us to others. Kind of hit on this already. You know, the truth is, there's only 4 points, and the fact is, there's no way 1 point can stand alone. And let's just be real today. The 4 points, they're all going to be intertwined. He had to die to restore us to others. You and I may most be like Jesus when life is trying to offend us, but it can't because we're whole and the lies can't find a tender spot. Jesus died for reconciliation, not separation. He didn't die so you could be right and somebody else you could point your finger at and say, I told you so. He died so we could be together and so we could live life supporting and encouraging and making it through. He died to restore us to others. So, you know, at the end of this day, we're going to have a moment to have ministry time. And your little cards that you can fill out and ask you to put praises and prayer requests and thanksgiving on. I want you to think about your own life. In the real world, okay, who right now would you like to be reconciled to? Who do you think you need a reconciliation to in your life? You know, it's not an immediate family member, but it is a family member that they are quick to hold grudges against other family members over things that are just so insignificant, it's laughable. But one of the ways they show themselves as to having a grudge against somebody is they refuse to go to family events. They'd rather sit at home and be by themselves. And I often tell Kathy this, I'll say, wow, they really showed them, didn't they? They really got their point across, didn't they? Well, I bet you their heart feels so much better. I want to ask you something. When's the last time you sat with your arms crossed, maybe not literally, but emotionally, saying, I'll show them. I'll show them. He died to restore us to the body, to His creation. It affects everything. There isn't one piece of this pie that doesn't impact the other pieces of the pie. This is a restoration that needs to happen so we can move forward and be salt and light, so we can be kingdom builders in this world. Number four, John. He had to die for us to be able to help others with the restoration. There cannot be, probably in my opinion, any greater privilege than to insert ourselves into that scripture and say, you and I have been anointed by God Himself to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoner. That's you and I now. He left it. He entrusted it to us. We really like to put it in the category of, I might choose that or I may not choose that, but that's a command. Luke chapter 4, that's a command to go and do these things, to help others in life. But remember what I told you earlier, if you're working out of scarcity, if you're working out of brokenness, it becomes extremely difficult. The good news can release people to see life differently, to see relationships restored, to see the brokenhearted healed. Just this week, I'm not going back with our little group to Zambia this summer. God didn't tell me to do that. So I'm going to just hang out here probably, unless I can think of something else to do. But the thing that's been bothering me the most, and I was talking to Dan Schrader about this on Thursday, and I probably got to make sure I don't cry thinking about it. I told you all last year when I was sharing with you about Zambia, but I know not all of you heard it, we had the opportunity to spend just one day with these young boys from about 12 to 21 that they're basically in jail, but it's not a jail like ours. And I can remember the last moments we were with them. It was just like this. Impromptu, not on man's plan, but on God's plan, standing there and the entire group looking at me. Now, not you guys, but other groups I speak to, sometimes they seem like they're daydreaming, okay? All right. But every eyeball was literally focused on me. I panned the crowd back and forth, and there was about 80 to 100 of them. And all I could think about the other day when I was talking to Dan was them. Them. And you know why? Because one day, there'll be a husband. There'll be a father. They probably are a brother. then they are somebody's son. They're probably going to be somebody's uncle. They might be somebody's coach. They might be somebody's teacher. Point being is how could I impact them so wherever they go, they could share these things with those people? Now, we had opportunity to share with them those truths, but I've thought about that a lot. How important is your restoration to the Father through what Jesus did and all these components? What about where you go this week? How important it is that you be the agent of change, the instrument of restoration this week where you go. Because as we see these things, these really are non-negotiables. Because thankfully, Jesus didn't come only to preach deliverance or even to only bring deliverance. Jesus came to be deliverance for us. Why did Jesus have to die for us? I put it this simply before you. You ready? So you and I would have the chance to not die. To not die. That's why I think He came for me. So one day someone could tell me this good news and say, it's your choice. Do you want to live or do you want to die? It was on me. And I chose life. And I know that many of you have chosen life. And I would encourage you this morning, are you willing to walk through the wholeness? Are you willing to see God use you to impact others? Are you willing to embrace the intimacy that the Father has for you? Because I want you to know something. Sin is related to shame. And that restoration of the Father is lifting us up out of shame so we can be honored as we honor His name. You know, one thing that's going to happen over these next couple of weeks, I want you to think about this. In churches, a lot, in various denominations, you will actually hear different names. Okay? We will use Yahweh and Yahweh and Yeshua. And those are all cool. Nice to say. But I'd encourage you to think about something. What makes it personal for you? I mean, seriously, when you cry out to God, what are you saying to Him? How are you addressing Him? Why did He have to die for us? For life everlasting. That deserves an amen. Life everlasting. That's powerful. That's powerful. But this morning, I know that there are things on your heart and on your mind that's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. Okay? Jesus knew that too. Jesus knew that firsthand. I believe that's one of the reasons why God gave Him the opportunity to set the example while He was on the cross. Most people never tried to talk while they were on the cross. They just tried to endure it and get it over with. But He took the opportunity to restore the people that didn't even know they needed restoration. So the first stepping stone for us this morning might be this. How do you need restoration this morning? What do you need restored in your life? Who in your life needs you restored? That's powerful. So I'm going to pray for us. Gary, come on down. You have your cards. You know what to do with them. As Gary comes on down, I'm going to pray for us. Just spend a couple of moments filling those out, praying. You know, guys, I understand perfectly well. Believe it or not, I am an introvert. Okay? I really am. I understand sometimes it's difficult to come down here and pray in front of other people because all of us are wondering, what's wrong with their life? What's going on with them? I can understand that lie. Break through it, A. Or B, find somebody else to pray. You can scoot over. Sandy can scoot over next to Joel. Say, hey, pray for me. Corey needs plenty of prayer, so you can just come down and pray over him. Okay? All I'm trying to encourage you to do is this. What you pray about this morning impacts the tomorrow morning. Do you understand that? What you pray about today and how you seek God impacts the tomorrow. Okay? So I'm going to pray for us. We'll spend a few minutes praying for God. Then Dusty and Rick and I and our lovely wives will be with us somewhere. So let's just pray. Father, these next few moments, as I know that You're a good God, You're a faithful God, You're a loving God, You're a God who reconciles, and You're a God who never gives up. And I say praise be to God. So Lord, we just give You these next few moments, asking You to speak directly to us. Or even if it is places maybe we don't want to go, We give you permission, Lord. Help us with the tender areas this morning.
Pray our way out of here today as we go be salt and light. Be nice to your wherever you go to lunch. Be nice. All right? And some of you don't need to tell those jokes you tell at lunch. So, Scott, anyway. I'm not going to let a Sunday go without getting you. Come on. Let's pray. Father, it's a privilege to be in this building and be together. It really is. But God, you bring us together to fill us up. So when we go out into a world that is absolutely dry and arid and just a desert, that, Lord, we are full of life and that we will give that life away. And, Lord, I pray today we'll be good stewards of the life that we have in Jesus Christ today. May you be glorified and honored. And I'm asking you to protect us today too, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.